The Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Biryakarpov. Welcome to the Strike a Chord Podcast, and it's a pleasure to have Stefano Ioelle on this episode, an amazing guitarist. Stefano,
thank
welcome.
You. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, we've been trying to do this for a while.
Yes.
I think since last year.
Yes. We get busy.
We get busy.
Yeah. We get busy, but never rich. What's happening?
Well, we're musicians.
Musician life.
We're artists. We're always busy.
Salute to the musician's life. Nice grappa.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so tell us a bit about yourself, Stefano. You're an amazing guitarist. You do a few different genres, and I've heard you play it live, and you're amazing. You're the energy that comes out of you as an artist is just amazing, and I think the whole your whole band is just great energy, great musicians. But you yourself, the way you play the guitar and your energy, I think, and the crowd just loves you, man. What's the secret?
Thank you. First of all, I'm really happy to hear these opinions from you, because you are an amazing guitarist as well. I like to play guitar. I practice, of course, at home, but when I go on stage, I try to forget what I practice, and sometimes I do mistakes, of course, but at least it's very authentic when I go on stage, and people really like authenticity.
Of course.
So, you know, we try, and I try to have the same vibes with my musicians, because I lead one of my bands, so when we go to rehearsal, I leave always space for mistakes. Mm. So, and when we go live, sometimes those little imperfections become very important part of the live experience, and people like it. People can relate to us when we play live with Gitano, especially, because sometimes we have just improvisation, and it can go for minutes, and improvisations allow to be imperfect.
I totally agree. It's very important, because it brings out your character.
You try to be authentic. You don't can, you know, you, especially when you play a kind of music that is built of improvisation, like funk and jazz, let's say, it's very important that you allow yourself the risk of making something up on stage. So it's a risk, and people, that's part of the stage experience also for the crowd. They come also to see if we mess it up, you know.
I think that's very engaging as well, because they listen to you how you are on that night.
We try to be always very authentic with ourselves,
and very important because you're your own person.
Yeah,
you bring out your own flavor, your own sound, your own being, you know.
Yeah, I think funk is what comes closer to my idea of music, but we try also to mix it with more soul, with more we have some musicians that play more jazz, so it's not all about my playing, but it's also about the mix of musicians that I found around. For example, I have an amazing drummer, Gandhi, that I met because Gandhi's incredible. I have Tim on the bass, that is fantastic.
He's very good too. My keys player.
We are in a process there. We are trying different options.
Okay.
Because Ezekiel is very busy with other projects, so we have some rotating musicians.
Yeah.
But
that's good too, because you get to experience other musicians, and you, it's a different feel.
Yeah. With Ezekiel, we allow ourselves to have some more Latin colors, while we're gonna have Hong for other future gigs, which is another incredible musician. It's very spacey and very technical musician,
and that's a good vibe to have sometimes on stage. It's different,
Every time you bring different flavor. Let's say that, you know, we start with a defined structure, But then, of course, some sounds will change based on the musicians and on their choice.
Of course.
The flavors might change a little bit. The result is always the same, that we want people to have fun with us, and we want to have fun first.
Of course. Yeah. That's the whole point. That's why you play in a band sometimes, to have fun, you know?
Yeah.
I think everything comes secondary after that. If you don't have fun in the band, I don't think you're going to produce any magic.
Yeah, 100%. Now, despite the thing that, you know, that all the troubles of the music industry that musicians are going through, I still think that we should bring always on stage only the positivity, you know?
I totally agree.
And nowadays, if you can do that, I think it's even, we can appreciate it even more, because it's very hard.
I totally agree with that. Always bring the positivity, and always bring, you know, your best to the stage. Sometimes we don't feel, every day we don't feel the same every day, right?
Yeah.
But when you go out there, you're playing for the people, right? So you need to bring the best for them, if not for anyone else, you know?
Yeah.
But on top of funk and jazz, you have a big knowledge of a lot of genres, right? I know you play a bit of classical as well.
Yeah, I played a little bit, yeah.
And you have knowledge of other, you know, of a wide range of music. What was, as a kid, what was your inspiration?
So I've been lucky to starting playing music late enough to do it as for just personal pleasure. So I started playing guitar at 15 years old. No one, just my brother brought me a guitar, and I started just trying to figure out how it works. And a couple of weeks, and I figured out how to play Nirvana, for example. So Nirvana was my start. Then I went up to rock, Led Zeppelin, and then I went to death metal, thrash metal. And at some point, you know, life takes you everywhere. Went back to my... To listen to my first albums I bought in my life, which was the Jamiroquai albums. The first albums. Like Emergency on Planet Earth, Return of the Space Cowboy, Traveling Without Moving.
Period, there was Jamiroquai, there was Brand New Heavies as well.
Sorry?
Brand New Heavies, Incognito.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they were all that part of that same phase, that same era.
I love it. And
that's the jazz.
Yeah, because I took my guitar learning to the rock side, but then I felt like I missed something on the, when I took off the distortion on my guitar, I didn't like the sound. So I said, maybe I should go back to my roots, and I started learning, you know, some Incognito as well. Jamiroquai. I tried to figure out what's this. I was listening all these colors, because chords, you know, these chords I was thinking more than chords. I was thinking of flavors, and I was like, how can I get to have that specific flavor? And then I figured out, there are chords that they have the seventh major, all these.
And you started the construction.
Yeah, and I started understanding that. Okay, and I went, you know, I did my researches, and I realized that probably I should start from the basic, and I went to JB's.
Yeah.
So playing those chords, dominant nine chords, to play the roots funk, the meters.
Yeah.
And then I went up there, and Then I moved in Australia, and I've been very lucky to have met Jack Pantasis, had it here as a guest. I'm very lucky that I found him as my teacher at the Polytechnic, and he helped me understanding more about the jazz, funk, fusion side of music.
You went in depth.
Yeah. And, you know, sitting with him wasn't only about technique and scales, and it was about every time Jack opens up to me, I always listen, because, you know, he's an incredible musician and human. Whatever he's saying, I'm always trying to steal something. So,
as we all do sometimes from certain people, certain musicians. But
100%.
Sometimes it's, as you said, it's not about the technique, it's about the sound. How do you get the sound? Like technique, if you close your eyes and you listen to some musicians and some guitarists, you think, geez, that sounds great. But when you see their technique, oh, hang on, it doesn't look right.
Yeah.
But it sounds good. So I think the most important thing is the sound. I think if it sounds what it's supposed to sound like and it sounds good, you're on the right track.
I agree. And the sound comes from your intention.
Yeah. Yeah.
That correct. Could be, you know, your feeling. You can practice as much as you want, but you can sound empty, or you can sound full with just playing in the pocket in the five notes, like B.B. King and
so true,
like for example, another guitarist that I love is Stevie Ray Vaughan, which technically was incredible, but he wasn't going too much out of the pentatonic scale.
But what he did with that was a different story.
Exactly. You have a grape, you can make a fantastic grappa.
Correct. You can just have it as a grape.
Yeah, you can have it just as a tree and no one cares.
Yeah, exactly.
So, besides Jack being an incredible musician, they use all the tools of music to express, I understand that, he's very authentic.
Yeah,
and that's something that really helped me. I think my starting my own band was something that I started also because of my experience at the Polytechnic, also with Jack. Yeah.
So really, there are some people that inspire you to be inspired. You know 100%. What I mean? Like Jack with you, he sort of inspired you to have your own inspiration, your own take on it. So that is very important, and that's very profound.
Yeah,
100%. There's going to be some people that you meet in your life that are going to, when you hit that sort of like that plateau where you've done a lot of things and you think, oh, I'm just stagnant. I'm not going anywhere. Then you'll meet someone, you think, geez, that this person, whether it's a musician or not, can inspire to go up that next level. Yeah. As a musician, I've experienced that a few times. It's very important for us as artists to find that next inspiration, that next thing that we were going to do. Because sometimes you know how it is. You play in a band, you play the gigs, and it's on, and it's the same repertoire, and you think you need something more. You need that little lift.
And I think Melbourne is great for this.
Oh, like, fantastic!
I come from Italy, and the music industry in Italy is good, but in my experience, at least what it was before I moved here, it was very hard to break into the industry. And when I came in Australia, I experienced an amount of musical diversity that I never experienced in my life. I the first gigs I went to in Melbourne at the Nightcat, there was a band called Zeitgeist Freedom Exchange, Energy Exchange. Like, they play, I don't know what genre it was, but they were incredible. Then I went out and I met an amount of bands that I don't even remember how many, but like Hiatus Coyote, for example. Okay, like I rehearsed in their studio. Okay, I didn't know them, and then I got to know them, and I didn't realize how good they were because I didn't know them. And I think only Melbourne, that kind of music, the kind of
culture
could grow, because it's not even about genre anymore in Melbourne.
It's not.
It's a mashup, it's a melting pot of genres that you don't say anymore if you're funky. No, you are at least three genres. Every band is at least three genres mixed together.
Yeah.
And Melbourne is fantastic because, it, as you said about inspiration, Melbourne inspires me to just not being closed on one genre, for example, with Gitano, now we're recording our first work, but I have previous recordings that are more rumba, they're acoustic recordings, and they're more rumba / bossa nova, and I just mix the two genres without any problem, and I want to give also that with Gitano.
And I think you're heading towards the right direction, because you've got the band that can do it, right? B, you have the knowledge and the experience, and you also have the passion to do it. And three, you have the city to do it in.
Yes. It's fantastic.
So it's a good formula.
Yeah.
I think you're right when you said there are you don't go and see a band for a genre. You go and see the band for the band now, because all 100%. The genres are mixed. Yeah. There's a lot of mixed genres. There's a lot of different. If you go into the category of world music, it's endless sometimes. Yeah. And then you go into the world of different genres, like every night of the week in Melbourne, you can probably find something.
You can find
rock. You can find
100%
funk. You can find house music or EDM or whatever it is, right? And I think it's very important for us as musicians to appreciate that and to use that to our advantage. Therefore, we create what we create.
Yeah. Man, you know? I'm so lucky because I didn't plan to have musicians from other countries. It just happens because Melbourne, you go out and you meet people from South Asia, from India, from Europe, from South America,
from North Nigeria, America, from Ghana, from everywhere.
Like, you want to hang out with, you want to learn about African music. Yeah. You just hang out on Sydney Road in the venues in Sydney Road.
That's right.
And you find on Sunday nights like jam sessions with Ethiopian musicians, Nigerian musicians. Yeah. African musicians are fantastic. Or, you know, you wanna get into the Latin music, which I did. I played for three very important Latin bands a few years ago, and you know, you just hang out with them, and they take you into the Latin music.
That journey.
Journey, and it's very hard to get out of it, you know, because you get into the cumbia, into the salsa, and you learn so much. Yeah, and I think actually, thanks to being Melbourne, I learned so much about different approach to groove, which is the Latin approach to groove, which is a little bit, it's the kind of swing that comes with a cumbia, which is not straight, and makes you understand, makes you wanna write music differently.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. Melbourne is incredible. And you know, I've been lucky to play for the New Monos, for La Descarga, which is a Colombian cumbia band, for Hasta La Cumbia. And plus my other band, which is
the Piratesca
Rebellion, which
that's a good band.
It's a good band. That's it's good going band. Good. It's going despite being stopped by COVID, because Piratesca is a live. It's a band that gives the best live. You know, our records are great, but we play even better
you
live.
Feel the energy live.
Yeah. So COVID stopped we were on a momentum, and it stopped.
But you guys have come back from that. You guys, I see that you guys are starting to get some gigs, and you know.
It takes time because
it's a big band.
Yeah, it's a big band, and I think now we're going towards having less gigs, but good ones,
quality,
you know,
ones.
Quality gigs like festivals, and we can do that. We have the material, you know. When we get together, the core of the band, so me, the singer JP, or Jose on the drums, or Simon on the bass, we are trying to write music that moves crowds.
Yeah,
doesn't move two people; it moves hundreds of people, and we are looking forward to show our new records soon.
Yeah, it's so good that you're writing what you just said. You're writing to move crowds. You're writing for them. You're writing to You know, that's such an important part of music and of composition 100%. And writing these days, because you wanna move people, you wanna move crowds, you wanna you know, have that impact on people where they're gonna remember.
Yeah.
You know, and make them feel good emotionally, you know. They're there to let loose as well, they're there to have a good time. And you have to provide the energy that for them to absorb, you know. I think it's a great band as well. It's very unique. It's not.
Yeah.
It's got a bit of everything in there, you know.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm lucky to have met JP, the singer, because my first band was a New Zealand reggae cover band, and I opened for his first band.
Ah, okay.
I met him. I said, "Man, like, just because his stage presence made me feel like I wanted to play for him, you know?
Yeah.
So I went
to
him.
He has got that.
Yeah, you know, we shared numbers, but after I saw him on stage, I said, man, you know, I wrote on our chat, I wrote, man, just whatever musician you need a percussionist, I will learn percussion. You need a guitarist, I'm a guitarist. You need a bass player, I play bass.
He's so like that.
He, after 1 week, his bass player left and he needed a bass player. So I went in the band, I went with him, we started a new band from scratch and wrote new music. And thanks to that, I learned also how to play bass properly, yeah. Which, you know, it was good.
It's, you know how we were talking about before, someone can inspire you?
Yeah, he's
one person that inspired you. But I met him too, he's a great bloke. He's very passionate, even when he talks with his energy, with his positive energy, you know?
Yes.
And he plays a bit of the
ukulele. Now we are working on a show that we play rhythm guitar.
Okay.
Because we are going towards, we are going a stage with Piratesca that we want to go towards more the rock side of ska.
Okay.
And funk.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we embrace our roots.
Yeah.
I want to bring more funk, but also more rock, because that's also part of my background.
Yeah.
And it's working well. The brass section sounds amazing, even with heavier distortions.
Yeah.
So the latest shows we had, we got very good feedbacks. And, you know, we're going to go in Sydney in September for a couple of gigs. We will have Ska Nation, so we will open for the Melmuska Orchestra.
Oh, good.
Which,
cool.
You know, Nicky Bomba is friend of us.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and we're going to, and then there will be the Mad Caddies, which, you know, in the Ska music environment, they are famous. They come from California.
Okay.
So they're going to do their Australian tour, and we're going to open, we're going to play before them. Yeah.
Fantastic.
We get in there, you know.
Oh, it's great to hear. Great to hear. It's good to hear that, you know, the musicians, you know, especially after all that COVID crap, getting, you know, back to that, to where he was originally, back to playing music.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm when I hear these sort of stories, I my heart feels, because I've been in the music industry all my life, and there's been ups and downs, obviously, but when you hear, you know, of the music still going and it's, music is such a strong force that you know, it transitions people and their emotions. And for that to happen, you need to have more venues, more gigs, more of these musicians to go out there and do what they do, you know. And Piratesca is such a big band, and for it now to start evolving and going into, you know, that next level, it's very important, I think, for the band.
We had just one thing in our mind during COVID, you know, like a band that plays live mostly, you know, during COVID can finish, you know. During COVID could have, we were not far from saying, okay, let's have a break, you know. But we had a meeting and we chose to not give up, you know. And I'm sure it's gonna pay back.
Oh, of course.
Slowly though, because, you know, I don't want to get into, you know, too much political things, but the music industry is still suffering, and it will take time to recover.
I agree, Stefano. And I think, and this is something that I've been spruiking as well, where, you know, something needs to change, something needs to happen. Me doing this podcast and trying to, you know, get as much or put in as much help as I can or assistance to every musician, that was my goal with this podcast from the start. I've always said it. And hopefully this can you know, start climbing as well and helping the musicians and helping, you know, the musicians play more and doing what they do best and going out there and whether some musicians are performing live or some are just recording.
Yeah.
You know, it's that whole industry that needs assistance and needs that boost.
Yeah. I agree. Unfortunately, you know, like there is a kind of thing going on with venues, and every time I have conversations or you know, communications through emails or messages with venues, I always trying to mention, make sure they understand that we work together, you know, because we are lifting. But also, I always have the need to remind that music is made by musicians. So if you go and don't make musicians survive, how can you have a music industry? You know, at the end, it's very hard, man. It's a very, very big, it's a very big conversation going on. And unfortunately, not every venue owner understands the work that is behind playing an instrument or whatever instrument, you know. Like, there is a big work, and this is something that needs to be acknowledged in life, you know, because I bring you the show, and it's not like I come to the show and this, those 3 hours of preparing my equipment, playing and leaving, that's not over. You know, it's so the true. Whole week of preparing, actually practicing, which is the basic of everything, organizing rehearsal, which is time, is a time.
I feel you, I know.
It's crazy because every musician is a loop. You know, every musician has in Melbourne has multiple bands, and everyone has 5 rehearsals a week, 3 gigs, and you know, so there is a lot of work going on. Plus, you know, instrument services, strings. Yeah. You know, we know, yeah, the boring part of the job that people, the crowd don't see.
They don't see, correct.
But needs to be acknowledged also by non-musicians, especially by non-musicians owners. But, you know, I'm sure we need to educate each other, as well as musicians need to learn a little bit how a venue works. It's good.
Look, you know? And I agree with that too. I think that's where, I think there's a gap. Like, musicians knowing how the venues are and the venue owners knowing how the musicians work. So sometimes there's a gap. Sometimes they know. Sometimes, you know, with experienced venue owners, they know what the musicians are like and they know, you know, how it is. And some musicians know what the venues are like. They know what the process is. Bang, bang, they go there if they've done it before, a few times before. But in some cases, for example, some venues aren't equipped for music, right? Yeah. And yet they want to put musicians in there. So that's one thing where if you're going to get musicians in there, like I went to a gig about a couple of weeks ago, like I mentioned where and who and what, but we were at the place and you couldn't hear the main act because they didn't have the proper sound. So some people that were up front, they could hear it, and some people that were at the back, we just didn't hear anything. So this is the other thing. So when you're playing to the people. So and you have to ensure that the people are there to listen to the band, and if they can't listen to it, well then I think that's a failure.
Yeah. From everyone.
Yeah.
It's a failure from venue musicians. It's a complete failure.
Yeah, exactly.
Because again, we work together. It's 50-50.
That's so true. And this is the thing. I think sometimes there's a communication gap. So but on your point about preparing before the gig, it's not only a week up until, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been rehearsing. It's months. Yes. You've been playing for how long?
20 years.
Exactly. Yeah. So that 20 years, all of that 20 years comes to the stage.
Yeah.
So again, this is, so when if you go and you speak to someone in a normal 9-to-5 job and you say, I've got 20 years of experience, and you know, they'll be, oh geez, you're 20 years of experience, you're a carpenter for 20 years, you must be good.
Yeah, I don't know if that will work, because people are still saying, like, that's don't patronize me or stuff like that, you know. Don't give me a lecture, they say.
Yeah. But that's we're talking about, you know, like the financial return, you know what I mean? So from a musicianship, it is hard, and I think things need to change a little bit in the industry, and I think and it's not only the musicians, it's all artists, like all that whole art, the arts sector. I think there's a lot of things that probably could go for improvement, need a little bit of improvement. But again, you're right in saying that we also need to help, and we also need to work towards that. We need to work with people to get that done. And I'm sure that the majority of musicians do that, you know?
Especially in Melbourne. Musicians are so aware in Melbourne of their power. At the same time, they are aware that they need to work. So, you know, it's we you know, if we go at the bottom of the problem, is that the entertainment industry is not well represented in the parliament. but you know, let's not go too much political. Yeah. I can give you a fun fact that
go for it.
Yeah,
go
for it. And this is something that out of, you know, it is something that basically I don't like when venues want to charge bands for the sound engineer, okay? Because for me it's wrong. Or they want to charge for the sound check. This is a new thing that is starting in Melbourne.
Charging and for sound check?
Sound, yes.
I've never come across that. Yeah, really? So is that happening, is it?
Yes. So I played in... you know, because when I think of... I imagine, because I had the luck to study with Jack. And I imagine, you know, that a musician of the level, like Jack Pantazis, for example, also on your level, when you go in a venue, there is no way that you're not going to have a sound check. That's the basic.
Of course.
So I played in this big venue, which I will not name, and big venue, okay. And we were playing. I was replacing a friend that was sick in a band.
Filling in?
I was filling in, and he got sick. So I had to learn the whole repertoire in 3 days. So it was like 12 to 15 songs. And already, you know, there was already a little bit of stress. But then I go to the venue, and the kind of gig was like three big jazz bands gig. So it was like the first band had 10 musicians, the second band us, other 10 musicians, and the last band 7 musicians. So a lot of musicians, a lot of instruments, a lot of stuff going on.
Bumping
was crazy. I go to the venue and I go to my musician and say, okay, guys, I need to set up. So how much do we have for sound check? And my musician said, no, we don't have sound check. And I was like, oh, okay, we have at least a line check. Yeah, we have 5 minutes set up before we start playing. So the venue wanted to charge the bands for the sound check, and the bands didn't accept. So the venue allowed us only 5 minutes changeover. So,
jeez, that's harsh.
That's harsh because you have 10 musicians, that's 20 harsh. Musicians switching. Okay, so 10 and 10. And at some point, someone took your pedal or your cable. Jeez. It's a mess.
How did you survive?
It was crazy. I was here. The bass player was here and the drum was there. And because we didn't do line check, I didn't have a fullback. And the bass was very loud. The bass was taking off the whole sound from the drums. I couldn't hear the drum kit. And it was so loud, there's so no sense, that I went to hear the live recording. And this is, you know, this is part of live music industry experience. And my guitar had one string that was untuned for half the set, and I couldn't hear my guitar. So, you know, I tuned it and then went untuned again. And what I did, the guitarist that I played, that I filled in for, he told me, man, you were untuned for half set. Well, line check. So what I suggest to musicians, always fight for your sound check.
Yes,
and definitely. Don't take... anything.
Don't take no for an answer.
Yeah, that's it.
yeah, it's very, very important, Stefano. It's very important for that because that reflects on you. You know, if like for instance, you had your one of your strings that was in tune, and they say, oh well, the guitar wasn't in tune. You know, and that
no one realized it live because we manage it.
No, but if someone did, they would have said, oh, the guitarist, you know, couldn't.
Yeah.
And that's. That's not a fault.
I'm embarrassed while telling you.
It's not a fault of your own. And this is the thing. If that is getting enforced in venues where you have to pay for a sound check, I think that's ridiculous.
I think that's
ridiculous.
You know, those are the things that I feel like some venues, especially the big ones, that they have more leverage. So they have like maybe international artists. When they see local bands that are not as big, they might say, you want a quality, you have to pay for quality.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why I say always, venues need to work with the musicians, especially local musicians, man.
Definitely.
The quality of the musicians that I have around, I don't want to talk about me. You know, I think I'm average, okay. But when I choose a musician, it's the musicians I choose is because they blow my mind. They are incredible, and I can't believe that those musicians are not famous. Because I listened to, you know, when I was a kid, I was listening to Coltrane, to Miles Davis, to Charlie Parker, to, you know, Jaco Pastorius, the classic. And I've seen musicians here that they can say they can speak their musical word. They are on an incredible level. Yeah. They study Coltrane all day long, and they are still fighting for a sound check. Come on, man! Like, seriously.
I know, but you know what, Stefano? It's Melbourne's always had those musicians.
Yes, of course.
For years and years and years, yeah. Ever since I can remember. Yeah. Melbourne's always had quality musicians. Yeah. It's like, I remember at one stage, I don't know whether it was the 80s or 90s, there was an influx of people coming from interstate, and they're probably, and I don't know, people still coming from interstate to move to Melbourne to play good music.
Yeah.
The musicians. Man. There was an influx at one stage, they're all coming to Melbourne. And this is where it was all happening. And I feel that that's happening again in Melbourne. And I think things like that are you're putting, you know, obstacles in front of these these musicians, you know?
I think you know, we are in a moment of we are going out of the crisis, the entertainment industry crisis, slowly, even in a moment of hardship. I think there is an opportunity, and the opportunity comes from writing and recording. So that's what we are focusing now with all my bands.
Yeah.
So we are working hard, and you know, despite all these problems, I see positive things coming, especially in Melbourne.
And you should. And that's the way you should think. And doing recording, everything like that, that's a good way of doing it, because you're still putting your creativity there, right? And it's a different ball game. Recording is a different ball game. You know?
Yeah, I love recording.
I love it too. I didn't love it for years, but now I love it again. Yeah. You know, it was like this with me. But it's something that goes without saying. Every musician should experience at least once in their life. You know,
I love to record. You know, when I have artists that text me, because sometimes I do some recording for you know, singers. They need a track. Yeah. I did a very nice track with a Psytrance producer.
Okay.
So his name is Unseen Dimension. He's pretty known in Australia. The name of the track is Relief. And when I went to his studio is like a spaceship, you know, like Psytrance producer. So like it's a spaceship. You go there, I feel like I'm in, I don't know, Interstellar. I feel like
Star Trek.
I'm gonna fly light year speed, you know. It was fun because I never worked with a Psytrance artist, but we shared house for a period, and it was just, we did one track that was fire. We did it, I put it online, and people started commenting on YouTube saying, oh, this is, you sampled the guitar of Tash Sultana. And I had to write, no, that's my guitar. And it was like, no, and you know, people were like, no, this is Tash Sultana, this is not you. I said, okay, good. I did a good job, you know.
That's it.
By the way, I saw Tash Sultana when she was not famous yet. In 2016, she was busking in Melbourne. Do you know Tash Sultana?
I've heard of her, but I don't know. I haven't heard her stuff.
She is on fire. She started as a loop artist.
Okay.
And I cannot tell you what's the genre. It's just fire. She was on fire. You can see this small guitarist, this girl, beautiful. She plays the guitar, and when she sings and play, it's raw and it hits you, you know? Mm. And I saw her the first time. I was like, oh, nice. You know, was one of the first buskers I saw in Melbourne. And I was impressed by the average level of the buskers. And a few years gone, a few years after, she did the two world tours, and she sold out stadiums.
Mm.
It's incredible. Like, and again, Melbourne. I think that Melbourne has nothing to, how you say, like many people say, yeah, the North America, the States music environment is great, South America music environment. I think Melbourne is great as well. Like Victoria, you know, has so much variety and has his own neo soul, funk, jazz movement that is unique.
Not only that, it's got other sort of movements as well. It's got a different, it's very diverse. Yeah. Melbourne's very diverse.
And also, you know, you play flamenco. There is a lot of flamenco guitarists here. Like, you know, when I came...
Not a lot, but not a lot left, but there's a handful.
Yeah, of course.
There's a handful.
Yeah. But the ones I met, they play as it should be done, you know? Mm. I saw you playing and you play with the technique that I've seen in Italy from, you know, I've seen Vincente Amigo.
Yeah.
And, you know... You know what's going on. You play so good. And then I saw also, there's another guitarist. I don't remember his surname, but his name is Luke. He's another flamenco guitarist.
I know Luke.
Like, you know Luke,
yeah. Luke is a good metal guitarist too.
Also, yeah, for sure. I saw him playing a lot of stuff, you know. He plays also enough.
He plays everything.
Yeah, so, you know, like Melbourne is fantastic, man. Like I'm becoming almost citizen, and I'm happy because I know that I'm gonna learn more. Yeah. It's not about playing. Okay, I go and play my gig, but I'm learning, man. Like I'm learning so much,
but that's a good thing.
Yeah, and when I am feeling like, you know, sometimes musicians have this ego that says, "Oh, now I'm good," and then you go to a gig and you have a couple of musicians that make you feel like you were born yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling because you go back in the studio.
Happened to me many times.
Yeah, that's good.
That makes you better. Yeah. You know, there's always that saying, you know, you know when you see someone better or you play even better, when you play with someone that's better than you, you become a better musician. And you learn and you develop. Yeah. But I think also you need to be with an open mind here in Melbourne because you can't stick to one genre. Yes, I'm a flamenco guitarist, but I go and see other bands and I listen to other genres. Like, I love prog metal, you know, and I love funk. You need to be with an open mind. You know, years and years and years ago, you get your traditionalists where, you know, this is how it has to be.
Yeah.
That this is how it has
to be. Yeah,
you
can't purists, be like
this. The purists. Yeah. You know, and you think, but wait, there's so much other beauty out there. If you just open up a little bit, like the projects that I'm doing now, they're all fusion projects. I'm doing flamenco with metal, flamenco with like fusion, with Balkan, with funk. It's this is just the start of the journey.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm developing. I'm learning. I'm learning about all this beautiful music, all this awesome sound. And you think the spectrum is not just this. It's like this.
I think humans are evolving musically because, you know, before, when I was a kid, as you say, they were the purists. Mm. So I was playing death metal or, you know, thrash metal. I was playing Megadeth. And which, by the way, I still listen sometimes because I love it. But however, when I was going sometimes to study, I don't know, Jamiroquai and my metal friends, they were like, what are you playing? You know, this kind of attitude.
Yeah.
But if you think... That now you go. That's the power. For example, of social network. You go on Instagram. You see a guitarist that, you know, he shows how to play something, and he plays James Brown. And the day after, he makes a video about Iron Maiden. You know, I think human brain is evolving even in that, because if you before you were speaking two languages, maybe you know, if you know, kids in the past were praised to speak two languages, maybe Italian for example and English.
No standard,
you know. There is my niece that she's learning three languages and she's 12, she's 13, you know. And that's the basic now. And same thing for music. Oh, you can play, before you could play very good rock and metal, but now rock guitarists have a knowledge in jazz.
Yes.
Or flamenco guitarists have a knowledge in bossa, of course, you know, but some metal. Some
metal as well.
Yeah, metal. And flamenco and metal, they work very good together. As well as metal and funk.
Yeah.
There is a fantastic video that I've seen on YouTube a few months ago, is Marc Lethierry. I don't know if you know the guitarist. He's an incredible guitarist, and he's the guitarist of Snarky Puppy. Okay, and he has also various other projects, and you know, like in the guitarist music, I would say environment, he's famous. Okay, so when there is a Marc Lethierry gig, 90% of the crowd is a guitarist. They are guitarists. All the, because they go there and you know they try to steal.
Because analyze.
Yeah, yeah, he is incredible. Like just pure fun and technique is good. And there is an interview that he goes like, my background is hard rock, glam rock, metal, whatever. So heavy rock / metal. And he says, you know what happens when you take the power chords. You make the extended chords, you take off the distortion. You know what happened? You have a funky pattern. And you swing it a little bit. And he's demonstrating. So he's playing this funky rhythm. Fantastic, of course. And then he stops. Engage the distortion pedal. Goes on power chords. It becomes a groove metal song. Yeah. And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
General is just a word, you know.
Yeah, it's just a word. And like for example, on Spotify, thousands and thousands of genres now. Mm. You can't just there's not just standard 20, 30 genres.
Yeah.
There's thousands of genres, right? And I think that's a good thing. For me, I love listening to new things and I love listening to how people put things together and how genres can come together. But in saying that, if you want to do that yourself, you really have to know the genres that you're putting together.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Like you need to have experience. If you're going to be putting rock, you really need to know what the rock genre is. And if you're going to put it into classical, for instance, you really have to know what the fundamentals of classical is. Because if you don't know, you're going to be... It's like when you're putting... Like a casserole or stew. If you're going to put all these things in there, it's going
to
be...
It's like I tried to cook French food. That's not working. But if you give me a risotto, I can make a good risotto. You know?
Yeah, but if you study the French food, you'll be able to make
exactly,
the French food.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's like
I love French food. Don't get me wrong, but you know, I don't know how to cook it.
But that's the thing. Like if you know the genre, like you don't have to know inside out, but if you know what the fundamental is and what the essence is, and you're going into here and you're gonna mix it with this genre, it's very important to do it justice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And to do it right. Otherwise, it's gonna sound like shit.
Yeah. Sometimes it happens that you see people that try to mix stuff around, but that the authenticity, you lose authenticity on live.
That's exactly what it is.
You're trying hard. For example, you know, I'm aware that sometimes, especially in the start of when I start in a new band, I'm so excited. I try to put things together, and at the end, I have always that wiser musician that comes to me and says, make it more simple and it works.
I've had
more
that
you have always, and that's why I love musicians that are better than me. I want always to have musicians that I can learn from.
That
is not about the age, it's about there is something special about some musicians, and
I agree
they bring you, if you get too excited, you are let's put this thing, and they are like, man, just keep it simple in the section. And it works,
Because you got to work with other musicians too. It's not, 9 times out of 10, you're working in a band, right?
Yeah.
So it's got to work with the musicians, not against them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's very important. And if you have that awareness of hang on, I am going to make it a bit more simpler because it's going to sound better.
Yeah.
You know, and not going there as a lot of guitarists do. Sometimes we tend to either play or shred or do this or do that. Sometimes we'll just take it back a little bit, and the balance...
Yeah,
comes in, you know.
Yeah, for example, it was a good lesson when I recorded the first album of Piratesca, because I was on the bass, and at some point, I really like what I recorded on bass, but before recording, what I was doing on bass, it was like I was like thinking as a guitarist, so I was going up and down, up and down, and then they were like, in the band, they were like, man, yeah, it looks good, but it doesn't sound good. So I went back home, and instead of listening to guitarists, I stayed a few months listening to ska and reggae bass players.
Yeah.
And then I understood that, simplicity works.
The pocket.
Yeah, in the pocket. And even when I went back on the guitar in Piratesca, because now I'm back on the guitar, Piratesca on the guitar is simple, but very efficient,
Yeah.
And... simple doesn't mean easy,
I was going to say exactly the same thing. You took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, it doesn't, because I saw other people playing ska and underestimate ska and reggae or rock ska music. People think, oh, it's two chords. It's not that, it's not that easy. It's two chords, but played with the right intensity, with the right sound, and you don't have any right EQ, and you have to work well on your sound. And when you play in a seven-piece band, you need to find your own arrangement to fit the spot and not to go on top of brass. And you have to be humble to stay in the back.
Yeah.
Which is a very important skill for musicians. I love to be in the background and not to be at the front because I learn and I can interplay with other musicians.
Yeah.
And people don't never should underestimate simple music because it's not easy.
Correct.
You know, like reggae is not easy. Like, for example, when I record reggae guitars, so I remember I started playing a little bit of reggae when I was 20 in a Bob Marley tribute band. Yeah. So, and I was doing the sound like, you know, the skank sound. Yeah, that was just, you know, just one touch. And there was this guitarist, friend of mine, my same age, but 20 times better than me on guitar for many reasons. And one day I went to his place, we were jamming. I was like, man, you play good, yeah, but it's not what you, the skank sound you do is wrong. And he showed me, and it took me 1 year to learn it. It's not easy because even the little thing that you hear from Peter Tosh or Bob Marley, it's a technique that they did it, they were authentic, it was natural for them. But for us, it's not natural because we didn't grow up in the street like them. We didn't learn how to play like them. So we have to learn it. And it took months, almost 1 year to learn it. And people think it's easy. It's not easy.
It's
you know,
easy.
That thing, you need to have the perfect coordination between picking hand and fingering hand. You know, and you have to be perfect on time, and you have to be more of a percussionist.
For example,
one great guitarist in Melbourne in this, it's Max from Mount Cujo. I don't know if you heard of Mount Cujo.
I heard Mount Cujo last year at the gigs.
That's so it.
And they're amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
And the guitarist of Mount Cujo is just a metronome.
He's the founding member.
Yes. He's part of the core of the band and founding member. And his approach to guitar is fantastic. So he's almost a percussionist on guitar. And people, you might think that those guitar patterns are simple. They are not.
Nah.
I used to be sessionist for them. I'm sessionist for them. When Max is not available, I replace them. Man, like, you have to get out of thinking you're a guitarist. You have to think you are a metronome.
Yeah.
You know? And you have to be...
So you're pretty much leading.
Yeah. Yeah. You are part... You know, he's back to the roots of the funk guitar. You are locked in with drums, bass. With drums and bass, yeah? So you're locked in and you are one piece. So it's very important because especially bands like Mount Cujo, they play like Afro-funk / funk jazz. If the guitar is not in the right spot, the whole band sounds emptier.
Mm.
So, you know, it's again, simplicity doesn't mean that it's easy. Sometimes simplicity is hard to achieve.
Sometimes it's the hardest.
Yeah.
And it really depends on your approach and how aware you are of it. Because like you said before, like you're playing, you know, reggae in one sort of like style.
Yeah.
And then this other guitarist has come to you and say, hang on. So he's made you aware that there's something not right. So and not a lot of musicians will tell you that it's right or wrong. Yeah. This is the other thing, right? But the good musician will say, look, if you take it on board. You know, it's a bit of advice. If you want to take it on board, you take it on board. If not, it's up to you. But you know, that's your development. That's how you develop. That's you have to listen to these musicians and these musicians that, as you said, are these top notch musicians and you're gonna learn from them. It's not only going to be one thing. It's going to be a stream of things or a string of things that they're going to do or say that's going to make you a better musician, whether they're a guitarist, pianist, drummer. It doesn't matter, you know. But I think having that awareness is very important for a musician, because you won't be able to play otherwise.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But Gitano, tell us a bit about that. What have you got in the pipeline? You're recording. You guys are playing, obviously, and yeah. You know.
We had a little bit of a break because we are finding new rotating musicians for the keyboard position, which we found luckily. So we have a couple of names, and it's gonna be very interesting because Gitano will sound different, right? Because when I write music, I write very basic things for the keyboard, because I want the keyboard player to add his own flavor. So I will have Hong on the keyboard in next gigs, and it's going to sound very interesting.
Where is going to be your next gig?
So I will have a residency going on at the Open Studio for four Saturdays, mm-hmm. one Saturday per month, four times.
Okay,
so 26th of August, yep. It's a Saturday night. Grab your tickets. It's going to be sold out 100%. So I suggest to take it now because, you know, Open Studio is great.
But it's small.
So, which I love it because it's very intimate.
Yeah.
So you can really sweat with the crowd.
Yeah. We'll put up the links and everything like that on the podcast as well. And all your links as well. We'll make sure that we put it all up on there.
Probably for now we want to have just these four gigs, and we have a GoFundMe campaign going on to fund part of the recording, and we got some extra cash that will allow us to record soon.
Yep.
Because we are in the process of writing the demos, okay, so we can rearrange whether is needed. And then by the end of the year, we start going in proper studios. And
the business end of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And finally, we can have our first record, which people are asking. You know, when I play gigs, they're like, oh, it's incredible. You don't have a record out. I want to buy, but we cannot give anything now.
It's timing sometimes as well. It's not only money, it's not only cash, but it's timing as well. The availability of everyone.
But I'm positive. It's gonna be a nice album. There will be a lot of flavor.
I'm sure it will be. Yeah. I'm sure it will be. It's a kick-ass band. It's a great band. I had the pleasure of hearing, I think, one of your first gigs. Probably even the first. I think.
Yeah, it was. Let's say it was the official first gig.
The official first gig.
We had more jam sessions before, it was the official one.
But a great, great, great band. Stefano, thank you so much for coming on this podcast. A pleasure. We're gonna do it again.
Oh yeah.
I think there's more information. We can chat about.
Once we switch off the mics, we keep talking because there is a lot to talk about.
That's right. And maybe next time we'll have a bit of a jam as well.
Oh, so. I will bring instruments next
but,
time.
But thank you so much. Follow Stefano. Stefano's an amazing guitarist. He's got it. So and I had the pleasure of watching him live, and as I said the first time, but I'm going to be watching him a hell of a lot more. So and good luck with all the projects and your recording and with your other bands as well.
Thank you.
And with your career going forward, and hopefully you find what you need.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Here in Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah. I already found it. It's growing now.
It's growing.
It's growing. Follow the bands I mentioned. Plus, follow all the musicians I mentioned because they are all great. And thank you very much. And salute. Some grappa.
Yes.
Salute.
Till next time. Ciao.
Ciao.
The Strike Accord Podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.